Welcome to Shatterproof. I am your host, Todd Callahan. It's been a hot minute. It's been a few months since I've had the opportunity to sit with you and converse and have a good conversation here on Shatterproof. Been so busy, had so much stuff going on. God has just been faithful. And if you didn't know, we launched a new multi-site campus in Orlando, Florida, here in Central Florida, Ignite Church, Central Florida. So if you're in the Central Florida area, I need to see you. I want to see you. Come check it out. Come be a part of all that God is doing through Ignite Church here in Central Florida. So, you know, for so many years, this is the fruit of so many other people that have invested over the years, pastors and leaders that have come through the main campus in Williston. You know, my mother and father spent 27 years there. Others have given so much of their life there. And in 2016, we took that church and God just did some incredible and powerful things through it. And then about a year and a half, 2 years ago, God just dropped it in my spirit that growth and expansion was coming. Didn't really know what it meant. And now here we are launched and ready to go in Orlando, Florida. I'm so excited about it. So if you're on the east side of Orlando or anywhere in Orlando for that matter, you need to come and hang out with us. Wedgefield School over in the 32833 zip code. You can go to ignitechurchvt.com or you can connect with us on social media at Facebook and Instagram, Ignite Church Central Florida. It'll pop right up for you. And I want to see you. It'd be great to see you if you're here in the Central Florida area. But God's been faithful. God's been so good. Lots of things going on in the nation throughout the world. And I just wanted to spend a few minutes with you and just kind of do a spirit check on us. And I know there's so many things that cause distractions, so many things that take our thought life, our worship life, our prayer life, and kind of put them on the shelf because we get so busy and so caught up with so many other things that I think sometimes we forget that it's our responsibility to worship, not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. It's our responsibility to pray, get in the Word, be devoted to the heart of God, listen to the voice of God. And I think sometimes we forget to do that. So I want to do a little spirit check with you today. And, you know, one thing that really kind of hit me was just the other day, I got an inbox from an individual on Instagram. I had posted something. I posted a reel about right here in Orlando, how the Muslims are beginning to buy up land. They're beginning to claim and take territory right here in Central Florida, just like they are in certain aspects and elements of Texas. If you've been watching the news, there's a massive compound that's about to be built, a city rather, in Texas, for Muslims, specifically planned for a Muslim expansion and outreach. I don't even remember how many acres this thing is, but it's huge, absolutely massive. That's beginning to happen in Central Florida. So I reposted that reel on my social media, and I saw an inbox come in from someone whom I haven't talked to in years. I mean, years it's been. Not, I couldn't even tell you a thing about this individual, but for the sake of not wanting to put that information out there regarding this individual, I'm not going to tell you details other than the fact that this individual oversees a Christian organization on a college campus. That's what I'm going to tell you. And so they messaged me and they specifically said I was being xenophobic. And it was quite ignorant content that I posted. Now, I didn't type anything. I didn't add anything to this reel. I didn't make any comments about it. I just reposted the reel of this Muslim video and this individual talking about how they're expanding and growing and all this stuff right here in Central Florida. And I was trying to make the connection by posting that reel of, look what's happening in Texas. And now it's happening in Orlando. It's starting to happen in other pockets. Well, this individual took it upon themselves to be completely offended by it. And if you know me, I don't really care if you're offended by it, if it's truth, if it's honoring or dishonoring God, we're going to go after it. And I felt that this was very dishonoring to the work of the kingdom. And so this individual says, you know, they don't believe that it was appropriate for someone who claims to be a Christian leader to promote such xenophobic and ignorant content. that the reel that I posted was highly offensive to their Muslim friends and neighbors. I don't even know how this person's Muslim friends and neighbors would even see it because they don't know me and I don't know them. And they were like, you know, this is creating an unnecessarily stumbling block for the gospel. And this is the part that really gets me. They said, we live in a pluralistic society, and this does not reflect the heart or character of Jesus. As leaders in his church, we need to do better at representing our King. Now, here's the part that gets me. Yes, we live in a pluralistic society, but that does not mean that we become doormats to the pluralistic society. That does not mean that we roll over and play dead as Christians, not to hurt somebody else's feelings. So now what happens is we make grace and space for people who believe that Jesus is not the only way. We welcome them in on our college campuses. We welcome them in. We say, come on in. It doesn't matter what you believe. You can be a part of this. We're going to hear what you have to say, and we're going to call this an interfaith ministry. This is what drives me absolutely crazy about these individuals that call themselves Christian leaders on these college campuses, and they have these interfaith ministries. Let me drop a nugget in your ear and in your spirit. Interfaith ministries do not work. You cannot have a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Christian all worshiping together, worshiping the same God. But Pastor, this is a pluralistic society. We need to accept and be okay with what everybody believes. They can believe what they want to believe. But when it comes down to it, I'm going to be held responsible in how I engage them in my faith. I'm either going to tell them about Jesus, or I'm going to say, you know what, I don't want to offend you. So I'm just going to be okay with your belief system, even though you might be serving a false God. I'm going to be okay with it because I'm your friend, and I don't want to make you feel bad. You've got these college campuses. You've got college students that are dependent on these, quote, spiritual leaders who call themselves spiritual leaders, and they call themselves Christians, who are engaging these college students in a way that makes these students think that it is okay to be comfortable with a pluralistic society from a spiritual standpoint. Now, obviously, we're a pluralistic society. That's a no given. You know, that's a given, rather. There's no qualms about that. That's exactly what we are. We got people who believe differently, think differently, speak differently. That's America. That's fine. I get that. When it comes down to the faith portion of one's walk, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus also said in Matthew 13, the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Those are the distracted Christians. Those are wayside Christians, shallow Christians, distracted Christians, all Christians, but never living inside the harvest of the kingdom. Jesus goes on to say, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Here's the thing. We cannot be deceiving people by calling it interfaith ministries on our college campuses. It's either a Christian campus that is sold out to Jesus and Jesus is the only way, or you are deceiving the students that are a part of your college organization, making them believe somehow as their leader that it is okay to say, we're going to have a complete pluralistic view of faith, a pluralistic view of God, a pluralistic view of salvation, so to speak, and you have to be okay with that. And to be a part of this group, you have to accept the belief system that everyone in this group has. No, I'm sorry. If I'm in that group, I'm looking at the Muslim and I'm saying, I value you and appreciate your life, and I think it's great that you're here, but Jesus is the only way for you. And if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will find your place in hell. That will be your eternal resting place. So there won't be much rest, complete torment. And you're going to live the rest of eternity in hell if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Not all roads lead to Jesus. And we've got to check on these college campuses and make sure that these so-called spiritual leaders are actually preaching the Bible and teaching the word of God. Because if they're not, then we've got a problem. Now, I looked on this individual's website for this college group on this college campus. I checked out their website because I really wanted to see what kind of things they were promoting and what kind of propaganda they had on their website. Now, if I told you this organization, you would very much know what it is. You'd be very familiar with this organization. So I reached out to some individuals that are high up in this organization to ask some questions about what they believe and if they are teaching pluralistic faith values on these college campuses, if that's part of what they do. Because when I went to this website, I looked on some of the studies that they have available that should be faith-based studies. That's what we would imagine, right? And at the bottom of the page, one of these studies were sexuality and gender conversations. Now, why are we talking about sexuality and gender conversations inside of a Christian group? Why? Because, hey, we're in a pluralistic society. So we may have somebody that's a homosexual or somebody that's transgender that comes to our group, and we need to understand them. No. What we need to do is preach and teach the gospel to them so they realize they are living in sin, so that they can make a transformation, receive Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, turn their life around, and go and sin no more. I don't need to understand the life of a transgender to know that they're functioning and operating in a nature of carnality and sinful nature. I don't have to understand the life of a homosexual to know that they're living life in carnality and it's sinful nature that's in play. I don't have to understand to be able to sympathize with them. I feel bad for the fact that they're living a very deceived life. I feel very, very hurt for them that they've been living a life of pain, a life that is very difficult for them to live. I feel for them, I do. But the only way for them to come out of that is to speak the truth of the word of God. That's where the harvest is. That's where the fruit is. So, you know, we've got to get to a place to where we understand if we don't deal with this stuff now, there's a generational curse that's going to be passed from generation to generation to generation. It's going to affect my grandchildren. It's going to affect your grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. If we don't do something about this now and confront these things on our college campuses, we are going to see an incredible grievance of the Holy Spirit in the generation to come. Now, with that said, when I am preaching on Sunday morning and I look over and I see a slew of college students that are hungry, they are on fire for God. They are giving their whole life and devoting their entire existence to God. Everything that they do, they show up for prayer meetings. They show up for worship. They don't miss a service. They are there. They're bringing people with them. They're getting baptized. They're getting saved. And God's doing great things. And I see that generation, which is on college campuses right now. I cannot imagine someone that is so deceived to tell college students that, hey, it's okay if we all come together and we worship. You might not be worshiping the same God they are, but it's okay. Let's just come together and worship. And whatever God they're worshiping, they can worship. Whatever God you're worshiping, you can worship. Excuse me, I'm not going to be a part of that type of experience. You've got to be joking. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. I don't find freedom in that. The Spirit of God is not going to be in a moment like that. There's got to be transformation that takes place. If you're having a service just to, an interfaith service, just to appease everyone that believes differently, and you've got some ecumenical thing going on that you think is somehow pleasing the heart of God, Jesus didn't sit there with the woman at the well and say, hey, keep taking this water, keep pulling up water from this, you know, this well. He looked at her and said, you can keep pulling this water, but until you drink of me, until you drink of this water, this is the water that you will allow you to never thirst again. And he began to get prophetic and call things out in her life. Until we get like that, until we look at them and say, go and sin no more, and we've spoken the truth of the word of God, until we get like that, we're not going to see transformation. So we've got to stop this interfaith garbage. What crap is this that we're promoting this stuff on college campuses to say, whatever you believe and whatever they believe, it's all right. Just come together and we're all just going to worship together. I mean, really? We must not be worshiping the same God and reading from the same Bible, because my Bible speaks something a little bit different than what you might be preaching on your college campuses. And it makes me anxious to know that these type of people are leading young people with this ideology. And I pray that God changes their heart. You know, it's our responsibility to occupy until Jesus comes, not lay down and become doormats for false religions and ideologies. People engaging in idol worship by giving them a pass not to hurt their feelings. Oh, I'm not going to speak the truth of the word of God because I don't want their feelings to get hurt. What are we doing? What are we doing? I mean, we're going to sit here and just continue to allow Muslims to continue to purchase property and build their mosques and infiltrate the school systems, while the Christians sit here and just say, well, we don't want to really say anything about Jesus because we don't want to hurt their feelings. Guess what's going to happen with that kind of mindset? Eventually, you won't be able to talk about Jesus, because there's this thing called Sharia law that won't allow you to do so. Oh, that's never going to happen in America, Pastor Todd. You don't need to worry about that. Okay, well, keep letting them do what they're doing now. My Bible tells me it's my responsibility to occupy until he comes back. I'm not just going to sit in my spiritual lazy boy and lay down or bury my head in the sand and pretend like all this stuff's not happening around me. There's a demonic spirit that we've got to pray against, that we've got to call out, and that we've got to be actively engaged in our culture and society to push against this ungodliness. Part of it is holding these people accountable on our college campuses that are trying to tell these college students that it doesn't really matter what you believe. Let's just come together and love one another. And I love it when people try to say, you know, the Muslims are our brothers and sisters. They are not my brother and my sister. If they were my brother and my sister, then that means we're a part of the same bloodline. And as far as I know, they haven't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and the blood hasn't hit them yet. Therefore, they are not part of my bloodline. They are not part of my family. They are not my brother and my sister. I want to see Muslims saved and set free. But when you think that speaking the truth of the word of God and calling out the fact that they are expanding and that we need to do something to stop it, come on, is somehow hurting their feelings and is going to close them off to the message of Jesus, I completely disagree with you, 100%. I think that we've got to speak the truth of the word of God. We've got to show publicly that they are taking territory that belongs to God's people. And God's people aren't claiming that territory because they're sitting back waiting for Jesus to fix it all. Well, let me give you a reminder. If he was going to fix it all, it would have been done before you had your first cup of coffee this morning. Before you took that first sip of coffee this morning, it had all been taken care of. But the Bible says the earth is reeling and shaking and waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. In other words, you and I have got to have an awakening in our spirit and realize that Jesus created us for this time. We were born for this moment. We were born for this time in history right now. That means we cannot become complacent. We cannot sit idly by and watch some false demonic ideology of faith, a false belief system serving a dead God take over this nation and around the world, and we just sit there inside the four walls of our comfy church and pretend like nothing's happening. And then we've got what just happened today. We've got two individuals shot and killed in Washington, D.C. And apparently before the person shot them, they yelled, "Free Palestine." And there are still people, Christians, so-called Christians, who will still sit there and support the Palestinian ideology. Now, where have we come as so-called Christians where we're okay with the Palestinian ideology? And we somehow think that Israel is suppressing the Palestinians. Did we not think Israel was going to respond? I don't understand this mentality where we get to skip pages in the Word of God. And much of what you read in the gospel is all about fighting. It's war. It's a very bloody and engaging book. So when we see these things happening in the Middle East, and we sit there and say, well, this is ungodly. Go back and read the scripture. Go back and read your Bible. Don't sit here and put your own thoughts and mentalities into what is playing out in history right now. Go back and read your Bible. Go back and read the scripture, and you'll see what you are reading. You'll see everything that's taking place right now is biblical. It's playing out. But somehow, some way, we think that what's playing out in the Middle East right now, this is ungodly. This has nothing to do with God. God knows exactly what's going on right now. Nothing is surprising him. There are no pages in the Bible that we should be skipping. This is not a book where you get to skip a page according to how it keeps your attention. If you go to a church that is willing to skip pages for the sake of somebody else's comfort, you need to run. You need to get out of there. If you go to some place and they're telling you, listen, it doesn't really matter what you believe. You know, all roads lead to heaven. All roads lead to God. You need to run. If they're not preaching Jesus as the only way, you got to get out of there. It's going to lead you straight to hell. But we've got to begin to engage culture in a way where we're seeing shifts take place and we're seeing the fruit of the gospel come to pass. But we're not going to see that on our college campuses. Now I believe that there is a massive revolution taking place. And where this individual oversees this Christian college campus is in a very small place. When you look at the size of college campuses around the nation, this is a very small, insignificant, not much of a reach place, but yet it exists. So when this individual, whom I haven't talked to in years, came at me on Instagram, I engaged, and they did not like the way in which I responded and were essentially saying that I was being nasty and rude to them. I'm like, listen, man, you could have seen the video and just kept on going, but you chose to engage me. It's so wild. And then let me just throw this out there. Then they started coming at me about COVID vaccines, about chemtrails, and essentially saying I'm a conspiracy theorist. Well, I think all the COVID vaccines are being proven right now with everything that we said they were. Those things are being proven to be absolutely horrific. So obviously this person is wrapped up in the fear mongering that took place during COVID. Not only that, then they came at me about the chemtrails. Well, you can just use your eyeballs and look up in the sky and see it's not condensation trails every day, y'all. It's total chemtrails. So this guy was coming at me. Obviously he's been watching my stuff on social media. So he started coming at me, and that's what liberals do. That's, you know, not to make it so, idealistic politically, but that, you know, when you're on a politically active college campus, sometimes you begin to take on and absorb a lot of that culture, and it comes out in your conversation. So obviously this person is taking liberal talking points and throwing these things at me in the midst of having a conversation about pluralism, which I thought was pretty wild. So you see all these liberal ideologies come up and play. And that's what happens when somebody cannot confront what it is that you are saying, and they can't refute what you are saying, and they have a very difficult time articulating back to you the engagement that you're giving to them. The only thing they can do is start throwing darts at you and start trying to mock you and take you down. That's when you know you've won the argument. That's when you know you can just turn and walk away and let God do what God needs to do. There's just some people I'm not willing to argue with. And I told this guy that. I said, listen, man, I'm not even going to argue with you anymore. I'm not going to go round and round. It's not worth my time. Take me off your feed and you won't have to see anything anymore. He ended up unfriending me on Instagram. And that's cool. That's great. How can two walk together unless they agree, right? So I've got no problem whatsoever with that individual out of my life. I just need to make sure that you and I have a spirit check to pray for those on our college campuses, pray for those who are leading our young people on our college campuses, and make sure that we are awake with what is happening around us, because it's very easy to get caught up and realize that we are not as involved in what's happening around us as we think we are. We can get so caught up in work. We get so caught up in family life, and we forget to take a look around and open our eyes and see what's going on around us. Because listen, I know what it's like. We haven't had kids in school for a couple of years now. And I know, you feel disconnected a little bit. When I hear people talking about what's going on in high schools, and I can already see after 2 years, I feel a little bit disconnected. So I've got to stay up with what's going on in college campuses and our high schools, our middle schools, our elementary schools. I've got to stay connected with people who are engaged in those areas so I know what's going on. I don't want to be left out of what is happening because I've got to focus my prayer life that direction. I've got to engage the heart of God spiritually and theologically in ways that I can go after those spiritual dimensions that are at play in those spaces and places that I may not be in every day now. So it's important that we stay engaged. It's important that we are awake and we are not sleeping. Right now, in this moment in time in history, God created you and I for this time frame, for this moment. You are a seed that needs to be planted in the ground, which means Jesus has got to be on the tip of your tongue. And if anyone is trying to convince you, if you're around anybody who's trying to tell you that Jesus is not the only way, you need to really pray for them and also consider your relationship with them. Because you don't want that to be a weight. You don't want that to be a stumbling block. You don't want that to be something that's anchoring you and holding you down from pursuing everything that God has called you to do. I believe that we are about to see one of the greatest moves of God in this nation and around the world that we have ever seen. And I think this is part of it. I think confronting the demonic activity that is masked by Christians who claim to be preaching Jesus but are okay with watering down the gospel to tickle the ear, I think we need to call these things out. Because if we really want the awakening and the revival and the move of God that we've been praying for, we've got to go after these things that are tripping young people up and causing this generation to stumble. And you know what? They're going to have to answer to God. We may not be able to change everything on these college campuses, but we can certainly, without a doubt, pray and ask God to release his vengeance to shut the mouths of those giving false teachings to these young people and leading them astray. Jesus is the only way, period. There is no other way about it. So I don't know what these guys are teaching. I don't know what in the world they think that they are doing by representing themselves as a Christian and then putting their arms out and saying, it doesn't matter what you believe, let's come together. And they're not preaching Jesus, and they're not teaching these people about the word. They're allowing everybody's thought life and everybody's prayer life, everybody's theological life to engage the conversation. You talk about mass confusion. I wouldn't want my 18, 19-year-old freshman college student to be engaged in a so-called Christian organization that is sitting there and not preaching Jesus, but allowing everybody else to spew their faith and what they believe into the conversation. I don't want my kid going to some interfaith group. I want my young person, my son or my daughter, going to a college group that is on fire for Jesus, not sitting around playing kumbaya with each other, scratching each other's back, making everyone feel comfortable. I want my kid going to a college, Christian college group that's changing the world. So I just wanted to drop this in your heart and in your spirit, because we need to pray for what's going on our college campuses. I know there's a lot of things taking place right now from the Palestinian point of view, with all of these protests and all of these Free Palestine and all of these this anti-Semitic stuff taking place on college campuses. But there's also pluralism that's going on from a faith perspective on our college campuses, from Christian organizations that are telling Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists, it's okay if you come and worship with us. We may not be worshiping the same God, but let's just worship together. That's not worship. That's idolatry. That's false worship, serving false gods. And you're leading people astray. If you are on a college campus and you are teaching this garbage to young people, you are going to be held accountable to God. And I pray that God shifts your heart and turns it away from the wickedness that you've been engaging yourself in, because young people's lives are at stake. Listen, I love you. I can't wait to continue having conversations with you. It's been a while, but I'm looking forward to getting back into the little studio here and getting behind this microphone and sharing some thoughts and sharing some things that God is laying on my heart with you. Some, you know, it's going to be a whole gambit of stuff in this next season of Shatterproof, a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to talk theological. We're going to talk cultural stuff. We're going to talk some political stuff. We're going to talk about human nature stuff, things going on in my life, going on in your life, and we're really going to hit all topics and see what God does through these conversations. But I pray that you are blessed everywhere you are. You've got an incredible harvest laying before you. I pray that God will open doors no man can close and close doors no man can open. Share this podcast, share this episode, and I will see you on the next episode. Turn your notifications on, and as soon as one drops, you'll be notified. Listen, you've got a job to do. Now go change the world. We'll